You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome. Welcome to Matinee on Air. Jane Matinee, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After the 9:30 news, our friend and colleague and host of the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba joining us. He broke some news.
He is a newsbreaker.
He is a newsbreaker.
Yeah.
Todd Alba going to be joining us after he had posted about this plan to cut $87 million from the UW system before that was widely disseminated.
Yeah.
And the next day they pulled it.
Oh, man, when they say things out loud, people listen and talk about it.
And then maybe don't like them.
Yeah.
So Todd's going to join us after 9:30. We'll talk about the ongoing budget stalemate. Mm-hmm. And then we'll also talk a little bit, we talked about this yesterday, about Chris Kapinga.
Yeah.
And asking for more security at the state capitol, which I do not have a problem with. But again, he talked a lot about how lawmakers deserve to be safe when they go into work. Yeah, they do.
Yeah, everyone does.
I kind of think we all do.
And yeah.
Especially our kids going to school should be able to do that as well. So Todd going to join us also in hour number two, a new reality show.
Yeah.
Based in Wisconsin and heavily tied to one of Wisconsin's richest people, betting on Beloit.
Yeah.
We'll kick that around after 10 o'clock. Should be interesting.
Yes.
Also, some bad news for Milwaukee area grocery shoppers. Pick and Save is closing a whole bunch of stores around the country, and there are closures coming to the Milwaukee area. Also, next hour after 10:30, that's the segment we call Audio Sorbet.
That is just a nice little moment where we just
take a breath.
Ooh.
Get away from the news.
Yeah.
Audio Sorbet after 10:30. Do you rhubarb?
I feel like you need to be specific.
Do you eat rhubarb?
Do you eat rhubarb?
I didn't even want to know what you're thinking about what other things people are doing with rhubarb.
My interpretation of the question was vastly different than what you were saying, but okay, we'll get into an audio sorbet.
And then we will wrap it up as we always do with this shouldn't be a thing. Today it's the Polly Wants a Beep edition. Calvin found it. It's a good one.
And it's FCC compliant, we promise.
It is, absolutely. So stick around for that. That's at the very end of the show, coming up around 10:51. Just a reminder as well, Free Ticket Fridays are back. Be listening this coming Friday morning, starting with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9. Mm-hmm. Five times a day on Fridays, you will hear a different keyword during Pat's show, our show, Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, Todd from 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn from 4 to 6. Each of us have a keyword for you that you want to text in via the Civic Media app, and then you are in the running for a four-pack of Milwaukee Brewers Club-level tickets. Really good seats.
Very good seats.
So Free Ticket Fridays are back this Friday. So that's join us. Starting again with Pat Kreitlow from 6 to 9 across the network. Wanted to start off with this. This was a big decision overnight from the Supreme Court. This from the Daily Beast. Liberal justices slam incomprehensible SCOTUS majority in furious dissent. The three liberals on the Supreme Court raging against a conservative majority decision, which temporarily allows the Trump administration to resume deportation of immigrants to countries other than their homeland. The 19-page dissent from Justices Sonia Sotomayor, Elena Kagan, and Ketanji Brown Jackson say this is a gross abuse of the court's powers. The new ruling is a big win for the Trump administration. That means that immigrants can be deported to countries who are willing to take them without getting extensive notice beforehand. All that was asked was that these immigrants were given 15 days to explain why they were at risk of death or torture if they got sent back to these countries. That's no longer the case.
It sounds like it's just another idea of what we call due process. The process of, all right, you have to leave. Why do I have to leave? Here's why. Okay, let me explain to you. This didn't seem this didn't seem like too much to ask. 15 days in the guise of the immigration process here in America doesn't seem like a lot. And the fact that the Trump administration wouldn't let that happen or didn't want to let that happen and the court went along with it just goes to show this isn't really about a solid immigration policy. It's just about deporting people, a volume of them, not just this isn't about making America safe. This is just getting rid of people you don't like.
In Monday's ruling, the conservative majority provided no rationale for their decision. None.
Just point at the White
House. They just issued the ruling and that was it.
Yeah.
No explanation on why. In her dissent, Justice Sotomayor wrote, "The government has made clear in word and deed that it feels unconstrained by law, free to deport anyone anywhere without notice or an opportunity to be heard." Sotomayor also said the court's action was, quote, "as incomprehensible as it is inexcusable," unquote. We will talk about this more on Thursday when Jim Santel, because we are not lawyers.
We are not at all.
We are lawyer adjacent. Yes. Jim Santel is an attorney. He will be joining us on Thursdays, as he always does. So we'll talk about this more with him. But this broke yesterday. This is important. Mm-hmm. And I also find it doubly important because we are finding more and more articles about people who have no criminal records who are being deported from this country.
Yes. Yeah. So far.
They told us they were going to go back after the worst of the worst.
Yep. And a lot of Americans, regardless of party affiliation, said, okay, if that's what you are going to do, then do it. But I think a lot of individuals, myself included, we knew this wasn't going to be the case. This was not going to be an altruistic mission. This was going to be round them up, put them on a plane, put them somewhere else, and they're another country's problem. And they're putting them in supermax prisons, essentially. They're putting them in these gigantic structures, and they have been deemed, they qualify under the term concentration camps.
In some instances.
And we have American elected officials going down there to take selfies and to brag. This is not about making America safe. This is about getting rid of a bunch of people that you don't like because they don't look like you.
Well, and it's about fulfilling quotas.
Yes.
This was widely reported. Also, Trump wanted at least 3,000 deportations a day.
I mean,
and they have been finding, at least from things that I'm reading now, there aren't enough rapist, criminal, bad immigrants to fill these numbers.
Oh, you mean what he called those people back in 2015? Yeah, no.
There aren't. No. There aren't enough of them. So now they're just grabbing anybody off the street, as you said, who don't look, they're not white.
Yeah, they don't look like us.
Essentially, that's what it is.
Yeah. This is for another conversation where I want to have the numbers, but there have been, you know, I've seen people posting about the amount of white immigrants who are here illegally, and no one's going after them. If they are, they've talked about maybe sending them back to France or England, but this is about sending brown people to South America, to Central America, and getting them out of here with some notion that this makes us safer, even though it doesn't. And we've seen U.S. citizens, children, U.S. citizens who are children being deported with their parents, which that's okay. And then also in the case of Kilmara Brega Garcia, clerical error.
And the administration admitted that.
And then doubled down and said, we don't care. And then the president said, I have no power. And then the other president said, I don't have power. So we talked about this last week. There is no forward thinking. There is no long-term plan. There is no, all right, it's 2025. We would like to deport X amount of immigrants who are here unauthorized. How do we do that? Let's do some studies. Let's talk to some people. And then in 2026, we will start the process. No. That is, don't just hit the button, punch the button so it's broken, and let's just go. And if people get swept up who shouldn't be deported,
well, that's too bad.
That's too bad.
Yeah, that's...
You shouldn't have been brown then. Sorry.
It's collateral damage.
Exactly.
It's just collateral
damage. It just happens. It's America. We got to make it safe.
Guardian is reporting, according to numbers gathered from ICE and the Vera Institute of Justice, after Trump returned to the White House in late January, a steep surge in the arrests of immigrants in general, but one of the biggest jumps in arrest numbers have been of immigrants with pending charges. They have not yet been convicted. Mm-hmm. These are pending charges.
Yeah.
But the biggest increase has been people with no charges at all.
Yeah.
Between early January and June, this is from The Guardian, there has been an 807% increase in the arrest of immigrants with no criminal record.
807%?
807%.
Yeah. I mean, well, fortunately for those who support this, they think The Guardian's liberal trash who are lying all the time and are fake news.
Right.
But, I mean, it's just, we hear this, we're hearing it every day. We're hearing stories every day about people being illegally detained. I mean, just put aside the fact that due process is a joke now. It's not even something that we have to fight for. It's not something that was automatically a thing. It would had to be, hey, you did this without going through the constitutionally protected rights of all who are on this land, by the way, too. That's important to always state.
Not just citizens.
Not just citizens. It's any person on American soil has the right to due process. Mm-mm. Nope, we don't need that. It's getting in our way.
ICE data shows the agency is not just targeting people with criminal records. And as you mentioned, being undocumented in the U.S. is a civil infraction, not a criminal offense.
Yep.
It is not a criminal offense being undocumented in the U.S. 855-752-4842 if you would like to join the conversation. Jean from Eau Claire on the line. Good morning, Jean. Thanks for joining us.
Hi. In the meantime, I mean, this is beyond cool. It's just plain evil. It's a big cruelty show for the people that really, there are psychological problems with people who enjoy watching this kind of behavior of cruelty to other people. This is real sick. But anyway, in the meantime, America's children, poor, elderly, let's say all across America, are paying for this with the programs being cut.
Mm-hmm.
And the millions of dollars on those ICE agents with their faces covered and doing all kinds of really evil things to people. I mean, this is like cruelty, and everybody better start praying if they're Christian, because, I mean, I'm a Christian, and I think this is just sick. And so anyway, guys, keep up the great work. People need to hear this stuff, and they need to start voicing their opinions, because this is sick stuff, folks. Sick, sick, sick. And if you are a Christian, you better be praying God's going to forgive us for all this evil these people are pulling on America and other countries. Thank you. Have a good day. Bye.
You too, Jean. Thanks a lot. And I know Jean is very involved, and she calls her lawmakers all the time. Mm-hmm. And I think it is a good practice to get into. As long as you're polite, don't swear at people.
Yeah.
It undermines your argument.
Yeah.
If you need to know how to contact your electeds, go to myvote.wi.gov. Myvote.wi.gov. All you have to do is put in your address and the contact information for everyone, from the U.S. Senate to the Wisconsin Senate, all the way down.
Yeah. I think Jeannie brought up an important point, too, is that we're also wasting money on the Marines being in Los Angeles helping out ICE.
Absolutely.
And while all this is going on, whether it's bombing Iran, ICE picking people off the street, let's keep our eyes on the prize, too, on Capitol Hill, where they are gutting our social safety nets. They are giving their buddies lots of our money, and they're going to make our taxes, the working class, the working poor, go up. So let's not forget that as well.
You can always join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We will be right back.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text, the number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. After 9:30 news, Todd Alba will be here, our friend and colleague, and the guy pretty much affecting state policy in Wisconsin.
Todd?
From afar.
Todd Alba, breaking news.
He is a policy maker.
Whoa.
At least that's what we're going to call
him. Yeah. No. Well, can we just, when he comes on, can we just shower him with so many compliments that he might just be like, I'm done, because the man can't take a compliment.
We're from Wisconsin.
It's amazing.
No one can take a compliment. Before we what broke for the news, we were talking about the Supreme Court decision, which allegedly allows the Trump administration to deport people without due process to countries where they are not from. And in the show notes that Greg does after the show, puts it together, a lot of links in there for articles that we talk about over the course of the show.
Yeah.
And there's a really good article in today's Cap Times out of Madison about a local man lived outside of Madison, has been here since 2018, was in the process of applying for, I mean, he was following the process to become documented, mm-hmm. and they took a trip to Florida, and now he was grabbed by ICE. So I just think it's important for us to keep up on what's happening locally. This is not just happening someplace else.
No, it's happening everywhere, and this could eventually touch all of us in one way or the other.
Absolutely.
And like we said earlier, we have to stay vigilant, keep our eyes on the prize, and that is what's going on with immigration, what's going on with Washington and the budget, and don't allow ourselves to be, you know, don't let the squirrels take
exactly.
your attention.
Exactly. It's super easy too. Yeah. This kind of jumps out at me. If you're looking for a job.
I'm always looking for a job, Jane.
I'm looking for a job. You can apply to the federal government.
Wait, but Jane, didn't Doge everything with the Dogen?
CNN is reporting that just weeks after a firing blitz through the federal government, now the Trump administration has launched a hiring spree. Some of the recent rehires include Voice of America staffers. They speak Farsi, which is an important skill when we talk about what's going on between Israel and Iran.
Yeah.
The National Weather Service rehiring some 125 meteorologists after Doge got rid of more than 500 of them. Health and Human Services, run by Bob Kennedy Jr., brought back 450 Centers for Disease Control employees who were let go in April. This is what happens when people do not game things out.
No. Yeah, I mean, and yes,
we,
of
we,
course.
We,
yeah.
But we said this from the beginning. Mm-hmm. You come into, related to a business. Mm-hmm. I bought this business.
Yes.
Instead of finding out what each department of the business does and who knows what within those departments, I just fire everybody and start new. That seems backwards to me.
I was going to say stupid, but yeah, I guess yours is more.
One could say that.
I can't wait for the first Doge book to come out. I'm going to be the first one in line for someone to map out the beginnings of Doge, everything they did in those few months, and then the downfall. And then most importantly, the economic impact of it all, because if someone says to you, well, they saved $150 billion. Well, for one thing, let's just say that $150 billion is nowhere near $2 trillion. Second of all, not really. Because when you look at if you look at the people they cut and the amount of salary they drew versus the amount of people they had to bring back, the amount it takes to, and if they had to pay people out because they were unceremoniously fired.
They took buyouts.
Not to mention when you hire new people, you have to onboard them, you have to train them, you have to go through a process. That costs money as well.
Yep.
So really, I wouldn't be surprised if Doge is going to cost this country quite a few $1 billion after the fact. So once again, they could have said, there's a model for this. Bill Clinton did this in the 90s. He said he wanted to shrink the federal government workforce. And it took them years because they did studies, they had conferences, they talked to people, they made sure everything was done correctly, smartly, and they cut quite a few jobs.
But that was after taking time and doing it with surgical precision as opposed to a hammer.
Yep. Exactly.
Or a sledgehammer.
Or a chainsaw.
Yeah, that too. The CEO of the Partnership for Public Service, Max Steyer, calls the Trump administration's moves, quote, a mosaic of incompetence and a failure on the part of this administration to understand the critical value that the breadth of government expertise provides, unquote. There are people in our government who are experts.
And a former Doge employee came out, said that his goal was to, like,
He was really excited about finding waste.
He was excited about finding waste and cutting it. And I think a lot of people are excited about especially finding fraud.
Oh, yeah.
But he came out saying, yeah, I found out that the federal government, wait for it, works pretty efficiently. Former Doge employee.
Yeah. And I guess we could bring that home and talk about GOAT that was announced by Wisconsin Republicans. GOAT was the Wisconsin version of Doge.
Governmental oversight and something.
Accountability.
Accountability. Uh, teamwork.
Sure.
What was that line? Can you read that line? We have to go to break real quick, but that line, the mosaic of incompetence. I want to get a picture of Donald Trump in the most dear leader type pose and just have those words underneath it in the fanciest of font.
The Trump administration's moves are a mosaic of incompetence and a failure on the part of the administration understanding the critical value the breadth of government expertise provides. Yes, there are smart people that we need.
Yeah.
So if you're looking for a job, apparently we got openings.
Yeah, we do.
Let us know how that goes if you apply. We have news coming up next. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning and welcome. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Sweet Calby on the board coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other week at this time. Newsbreaker extraordinaire, Civic Media's own Todd Alba is here. Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Well, Jane, Greg, Kelvin, buenos dias, and it's a fantastic day to see all of you.
You are a political influencer, even from outside of the state capitol. Todd Alba is influencing what is happening with Wisconsin politics. Let's talk about that $87 million that they were going to cut from the UW system, because you got some insider info, right?
Yeah, I mean,
a little
bit. I think just a little bit. I mean, you know, I think the thing I was most pleased with, well, two things, I guess. Number one, when they were able to get out some accurate and good information a little bit ahead of the curve, and that gave people some information to act, which I'm really pleased and proud of folks calling in their legislators. I think that had something to do with this $87 million cut to UW at least being delayed. You know, I internally, when we first started the show, it's going to be 3 years in November, we wrote out a show Bible and a show deck. And one of the things on there, our goals, we said, you know, we want to get to the point where we're not just reporting news, but we're actually breaking news. So it's really the first time that we've been able to do that. And you know, I don't necessarily consider myself a quote-unquote journalist. I went to Platteville, went to broadcasting and had journalism courses. They don't have a proper J school. But one of the things that I'm just really passionate about is trying to dig in when and where we can, when we have time to do it, and you know, do actually a little bit of reporting. And so through my years of working at the Capitol, but also some more recent people, we're able to just use our sources to say, hey, we feel pretty good about what's coming down the line and report that a day early. And I think the biggest takeaway is, pardon me, when people are watching folks at the Capitol, doesn't matter whether it's Madison or DC.
Anywhere, yes.
Anywhere, they tend to want to do what they want to do instead of what the people elected them to do. And I think it's embarrassing that the Republicans had no problem once they were kind of exposed and caught on this. I mean, it took them a day to recover. They canceled the joint finance session after our story was out there. But then Robin Voss, Speaker of the Assembly, was like, yeah, my caucus has no problem cutting $87 million from UW Systems budget. And I think it was Leader Devin Lemieux or others in the Senate that were like, yeah, absolutely. In fact, maybe Steve Knopf, we should actually cut more. Of you know, maybe this $87 million is a starting point. The takeaway is that amount of money would be an absolute gutting of the UW system. So we're not talking about the 350-ish million that Governor Evers requested of additional funds over current budgeting. We're not talking about holding where the university system is at. We're talking about $87 million less than what they operated on in the last biennium. That will most certainly mean the remaining six two-year campuses gone.
Yep.
Probably. Maybe another a four-year college university gone, and or a gutting of a lot of programs. I'm all for an honest look, because there are places where I think Representative Nodal came out with an article here yesterday, or op-ed piece, in which he pointed out this $212 million IT software program a few years back. He's right. That was $212 million that systems spent, and the taxpayers got nothing for it. The sad thing is people at the Capitol knew that when it happened.
Yep.
And nobody at System got fired for that. So let's do a real audit and actually find where money is not being spent wisely, but don't hold accountable the entire system in Wisconsin idea.
Well, and I think you make a really good point, though, Todd. I personally think their goal is to kill the UW system. And they're doing this under the cover of it's too expensive. We have to make cuts. Mm-hmm. They're gonna starve it by 1,000 cuts. They're gonna kill it by 1,000 cuts. That is the goal. It would be more honest if Robin Voss would just write up his curriculum that he wants taught at our UW schools and just give it to UW. Maybe we could agree on something then.
Well,
because they want to control the curricula.
So some of them certainly, and I think you're right. I mean, I think that the Republican Party, the current iteration of the MAGA Party, has a war against higher education? Yeah, I do. Do I think every single one of them? No, I'm not going to go that far. I don't know every single one of them anymore. But I think what's so irritating is guys like Robin Voss. You know, he was the first student regent of the University of Wisconsin.
Was he really?
Yeah, it was between he and my friend Trigby Olson and another guy. The guy, whoever it was from Madison, and Robin Voss was the first student regent. He has sat on the board of regents. He knows how UW system works. He is a proud grad of the University of Wisconsin Whitewater. So, you know, Scott Walker, while he says for political purposes, the UW is, quote, a woke dead in indoctrination, unquote, he sends his own son to the University of Wisconsin, Madison, the most liberal university in the system, and he's proud of it. And you know what? He should be. But don't be the hypocrites to go there to spend your money, to send your kids there, and then try to say, oh, no, it's a terrible place. They know better, Jane. That's the really sick part. They know that what they're saying is not true. But like Scott Jensen used to say, every campaign has to have a hero and a villain, and they've decided to make UW system the villain.
Well, and I think, you know, this goes right in play with the nationwide attitude. You know, the Republicans have been railing against Harvard for decades for being a bastion of liberal thought. And one of the things I thought was very interesting that Robin Voss said about the UW system was that they needed to have more a welcoming attitude to those who are conservative. They need to feel like they're welcome there. I'm like, this sounds like diversity, equity, inclusion, safe space, Robin. Like, what are you talking about? There are... I don't know how many kids are in the UW system right now, but it's safe to say there's probably a fair percentage who are conservative. Okay. They have conservative values. Yeah. They come from conservative roots. I don't see stories about them being kicked out of campus, kicked out of classes because of their beliefs. This whole thing that the conservative students are not welcome in the UW system is a load of garbage to appeal to a group of people who honestly probably aren't big enough to influence anything, but they yell loud enough. So that becomes the story. And that is right there the problem. And not to mention the fact that Robin, every time he talks lately, he just outs his own policies. I don't even get into the whole grocery store trickle-down economics thing. But he wants to, as you said, he's building this fear. And the fear, the villain is higher education. That's the villain in this story. Not a regent, not a teacher, not a different politician. It's the educational system is the villain.
Well, you bring up a great point, Greg. And I mean, Jane, you and I traveled around Wisconsin a little bit last summer. And hopefully, that's me knocking on wood, we do that again.
Yes.
I hear that the EAA Museum and Butternut and the Lumberjack Festival are great places to visit in the summer.
I have heard the same thing.
I also have a bus on my credit card for the middle of July. So I really hope that this happens.
If you're just joining us, we have Todd Alba talking about some great plans maybe in July about maybe going on a trip.
Possible road trip.
Yep.
The point is, Jamie, you were at Richland Center where just before they closed down the two-year campus there, entirely at least. You know, Trigby Olson and I, we've gone on a lot of UW campuses. Stevens Point, we were at the Student Union, to Greg's point, we were at the Student Union in Stevens Point. There were three different conservative student group organizations set up signing kids up. They were next to, you know, other student service groups. And so this idea that somehow a conservative student group isn't welcome or can't participate, I've seen it with my own eyes. It just ain't true.
I'm sorry. I don't usually do this, but I just want to request A person on the live stream said that no Republican has ever proposed trickle-down economics, I think is a very, very interesting statement. And I just find that very funny because we've been talking about trickle-down economics for what, 4+ decades in this country?
Ronald Reagan.
I believe, Calvin, I guess I've never asked you personally. I won't make you out yourself on the air. I believe of this four-person panel right now, I'm the only one who spent 30 years as a Republican, voting for a Republican. I can tell the – and first of all, whoever's on the stream, thank you very much for listening to Matt and Aaron.
Yeah, thank you very much.
It's a wonderful program. Secondly, sad to say, my friend, you are not accurate. I was around when Ronald Reagan got elected, and that was the key part of Reaganomics was trickle-down economics, and that has continued on. There have been different iterations over the years, but yeah, there are certainly people who want to go back and revisit that, and I would say that's a part of my former party that didn't work. Didn't take, as George Costanza once said.
A lot of us still waiting for that trickle-down to trickle down, actually.
And one of the things, Todd, you brought up, and we talked to Corinne Hendricks last week about this, that Joint Finance Committee meeting that was canceled at the last minute. And this has to do with childcare, which is, of course, in crisis, and we've discussed this very much on all of our shows here, is that Robin Voss made a comment saying that giving money to those who are doing childcare, those like Corrine who own the businesses, is like giving money to the grocery store owners and hoping that they lower the prices. And I'm like, that is trickle-down economics that you are railing against. You're saying that if we give money to the rich people, that they won't do the thing, which is what you've been... It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense.
Well, and you just hit on it, Greg. I listened to most of the first half hour. I'm not sure if you hit on it yet. Maybe you're going to later on. But this announcement by Governor Evers last night that he is going to veto the budget in its entirety if it does not include child care funding. So I really think what we're starting to look at here is I think there is a real chance for the first time, as far as I'm aware of, we could have a situation where there is no new budget either passed by the legislature or signed by the governor, and we're just going to continue to operate for the next 2 years. And to your point, Greg, if there is no new budget, child care will keep going the way it was. That's the point, because without the federal dollars coming in now, with the state funding staying where it is, which is essentially zero for child care, there'll be all kinds of closures of child care centers across the state.
Because I believe the child care counts money ends at the federal money ends at the end of this month. I believe it's the end of this month.
I believe it's June 30th or July something. Yeah, I think you're right, Jane.
And Corrine Hendrickson said on the show last week, she said that if this goes through, if they do not get the funding they need, 1,000 businesses, 1/4 of the child care facilities in the state will close. And that's also,
I've been a little tough once in a while on Governor Evers, particularly on the UW system. I mean, look, I support him. I think he's been a good governor, but I'm not just going to be a monolith and salute to him. But I think he dropped the ball on the UW. But on child care, I think this is a red line, and I applaud him for standing up. And I think he's calling the bluff of people like and by the way, I was listening to you guys yesterday. I said the same thing on my show. Because when I was in the legislature and Chris Kapinga was just a little snot-nosed freshman in the assembly, all the Republicans called him Kapinga. It was Kapinga and Coinga. It was a big joke. And now it turns out, no, our own Dan Schaefer, of course he's right, it's Kapinga.
It's Kapinga.
So thank you. Yeah. And you know what? I called his office yesterday. I said, can you please say your boss's name? And she was very nice. And she goes, it's Kapinga. Just think of cap and gown. I said, that's great. I appreciate that. They were, by the way, Kapinga's staff, very, very nice people.
And you can find them by going to myvote.wi.gov if
because
you want to talk to them.
Because it works. Yep. Making calls works. Take advantage of it. Myvote.wi.gov. We're going to continue our conversation with Todd Alba on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Aaron on air on the vast, statewide, countrywide, pick us up globally on the app, baby, Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Next hour at this time, we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Polly Wants a Beep edition. Stick around for that. And just a reminder, we got baseball action later on, 6:05. The crew hosting the Pirates. Listen on terrestrial radio on WRCE in Richland Center, WISS in Oshkosh, WRJN here in Racine and Kenosha, WCQM in Park Falls, and WBZH. They have Lumberjacks next month.
Sounds like a fun time.
In Hayward, crew hosting the Pirates tonight. Our broadcast starts at 6:05. We are joined by our friend and colleague and host of the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 across the network. Todd Alba is here. We talked a little bit yesterday, Todd, about...
Can I interrupt 1 second, please?
Yeah.
Just 1 second.
Sure.
Because hearing you just read all that intro and just so smooth, I think I said this to Jane off the air, but it's time I tell her on the air. One of my longest time friends from all the way back from college at UW Richland, Troy Everson, who is now the head of the Burlington High School or School District Science Department. And I don't know, we were talking a few months back about the network and everything. And I said, well, you know, one of the cool things I get to work with Jane Matinair. He goes, you know, I love her, right? I said, what? And he goes, I have been listening to Jane Matinair for years and her voice just melts me. And he was dead serious. Ooh. And he's like, she is my favorite person on radio.
Aww.
So I think that, so to Troy there, I've sent it to Jane and passed on your, and I just listen. I'm like, he's 100% right.
Oh, that's so nice of you, Todd. Thank you so much. And thank you, Troy. I adore you. By the way, I started in radio when I was 7.
I was going to say,
I was an early starter. I got an early jump on my career. So, yeah, I was in grade school when I started. So.
Meanwhile, on a text we got once, I was referred to as, quote, buffoon clown box. So take that, Jane. WBA, are you listening?
Well, now I got something to shoot for,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take over the show, but I just thought, just listening to that voice, I'm like, I got to get
that.
Well,
sorry, go ahead.
The blushing is real on this side, by the way. You two can't take compliments to save your
lives.
We're
from Wisconsin. No one knows how to take a compliment. Yeah. It's a statewide thing. We wanted to talk just a little bit about Chris Kapinga yesterday and talking about increased security at the state capitol. Now, you worked in the capitol for many, many years. I don't think this is a bad idea.
I'm surprised it doesn't have this level of security already.
Already, yeah.
Well, see, now we're going to disagree a little bit. I had State Senator Kelvin Royce on our show yesterday, and I thought we were going to disagree because I brought up the issue during the break, and I said we might. She went, "That's okay," and it turns out we really did. So, yeah, I mean, if I add up my total years in the Capitol, somewhere around 14, 15 years over the course of 28 years, whatever. I for those who didn't hear up front this weekend, Chris Kapinga was interviewed and he said, A, that he packs heat in the Capitol on the floor when he was president at the up on the chair and other senators do as well. Number two, he doesn't think anybody else should be packing heat at the Capitol.
Just him.
Three, right. No, I mean legislators, not the general public. And three, he thinks that there should be basically metal detectors at the entrances and tighten down security. I don't. I mean, I worked there. And one of the great gifts, and I don't want to speak for Senator Royce, but I think she agreed with me on this point. One of the great gifts is our state capitol, anybody can walk into it during business hours. You have thousands of fourth graders every year making the trip. Do you really want all those kids standing out in the heat during
to go
the
through.
Summer and to go through those metal detector lines? And number two, or finally, it says to me that Senator Kapinga and Van Wongar and others don't actually have the faith in the Capitol Police that they say that they do, because the men and women of the Capitol Police Corps are there and keep people safe. And without going into details as so as to breach anything, I'll simply say there are security measures at the Capitol that the general public is not aware of. And those are in the offices throughout the building. And if someone feels unsafe, I'll simply say help would be there
in pretty
very,
quick.
Very soon.
Yeah. Well, and that was the thing too, is like the metal detector discussion, I guess, we talked about it and that's one thing to always to discuss as far as safety and security. But the other thing too was just the notion that he carries a gun with him and he should be able to carry a gun and no one else should be able to, because somehow he will be the hero of this story if something happens. And I don't know, to me, that's why they employ trained officers to be in that building to protect everyone, not just the elected officials, everyone who's in there.
Well, and that was kind of my takeaway from it was we as lawmakers need to be safe. The rest of you, you're on your own. Good luck out there in the world. But we as lawmakers need special protections. The rest of you, not so much.
Yeah. I mean, I could say in all my years at the Capitol, there were two times I felt, quote unquote, unsafe. One was my boss got a direct death threat delivered to our door, slid under the door. That was a little unnerving. We took the day off that day. And number two, and I want to be really careful when I, so it doesn't get misquoted or misunderstood. During the protests, when there were 100,000 people at the Capitol, they were basically peaceful protests. There was no major damage done to the building. I know that for a fact. But there was a point where you could not get through the hallways because it was so packed. And people were on each other's shoulders outside the Senate chamber and kind of pushing against the cast iron gates the windows. And that got scary. Yeah. But did anybody get hurt? No. But yeah, it got scary. Did I ever feel like somebody was going to take a gun? No, I just didn't. And think about, I don't want to go down this road, but there are a lot of state offices that don't have security. So is this going to become a state fortress? I don't want to go there.
Join Todd Alba. Check out his show. It's fantastic. 2 to 4, Monday through Fridays across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you so much, friend. We will see you in a couple, and hopefully we might be going on the road soon.
Road trip.
Sure hope so. Fingers crossed, guys.
Road trip. Road trip.
News coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.